In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and we are taking a journey through the book of Exodus. We are in Exodus chapter 20, looking at the Ten Commandments. Last time together, we looked at commandment number one, and that is, you shall have no other gods before me. And we said that was foundational. And that brings us now to the second commandment, no idols. Let me read Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of our fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now this commandment is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 8 through 10. And you can read that there. Now there's a very important verb progression. It starts off by saying, do not make idols. That's step one. Then it moves to the second verb, do not bow down, which means to prostrate, to respect, to honor, to worship. And then the third is do not serve. That is work or labor for them. Do you see the progression as it goes downward? You make an idol, you yourself bow down, and now you labor and you serve them. This includes both the vertical heavenly aspect of our worship as well as our horizontal earthly aspect. Now, this idea of you shall not make idols is a theme throughout the Old Testament. Leviticus 19:4, do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 26:1, you shall not make idols for yourself. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Scriptures are clear in the Old Testament. God will have no rival, and God desires no idols to be made. And yet, Israel, time after time after time, embraced the idol worship of their neighbors. Deuteronomy 4:15, take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. This is a really important truth. God did not come in a form, so therefore there's no form for them to fashion. But it goes on to say, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure. So God in his wisdom came without form because he knew the tendency of man to create these idols. The likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animals on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air. The likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and stars, all the host of heaven, you will feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. I don't know if you know this, but in the religion of Hinduism, if you go to a typical Hindu temple, they usually have nine gods together, which represent the planets. This is exactly what men do. They worship the sun, the moon, the stars. But God forbids it, because the sun, the moon, stars are mere creations of him. We don't worship the created thing. We worship the creator. That's what's behind this next commandment. There's no other God, and now we don't bow down or create these idols. Deuteronomy 27:15, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. But why? Why does God not want us to create idols? Because the scripture says there that God is a jealous God. His love and affection for you is holy, and it's pure, and it's deep, and it's infinite. We can't even comprehend the depths of God's love. In fact, in Romans 8:38, Paul tries to express this. And I just love this passage. For I am persuaded neither death nor life or nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you understand the incredible love that God has for you? He doesn't want you to have any rivals, any other affections but for him. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. In Deuteronomy 6:15, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. There is no greater way to bring your own condemnation and judgment than when you permit an idol into your life. Now, there's an interesting part of this commandment. There's a cursing and a blessing connected with this commandment of no idols. The negative side is that God will visit the iniquity of the fathers. Now, the third generation will represent the grandchildren and the fourth generation, the great-grandchildren. And to visit the iniquity means to see the sin. In other words, iniquity in this context would be primarily be idolatry in this context. And why third and fourth generation? Well, the Hebrew families would stay together. And so the third and fourth generation represents a whole household as they would all live together. In other words, God would look at a family, and if the whole family is idolatrous, he's going to see it and he's going to judge it. Genesis 50:22. We realize that Joseph saw multiple generations. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children, that is his first generation son, to the third generation. The children of Michar and the son of Manasseh were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brother, I'm dying, but the Lord will surely visit you. So we see these multiple generations in the Hebrew families. Now, it also says, they hate me. And that's exactly what's going on. When we put idols in our life, we are saying we hate God. And that is the hard truth behind this commandment. Now, the positive side of this commandment is that he shows mercy to thousands. I love this passage, Exodus 34:6 through 7. You remember Moses in the cleft of the rock and God passes by. In fact, it says the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. Same concept. Deuteronomy 7:9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God. The faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And Micah 7:18, who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. So love me and keep my commandments. So do you see behind this commandment is a heart an affection of God's love towards you. He doesn't want anything to come between him and you. That's the idea behind this commandment. Now, I want to stress something because many have thought about, or maybe you've heard of generational sin or generational curses, how maybe a former relative or ancestor committed some grievous sin in the family, and now that sin carries down, and now God is punishing that family. That is a false teaching. As we can clearly see, the idea here of visiting iniquity third and fourth generation is saying the whole household has embraced idolatry, and God will judge that whole household. But God also forgives. But God judges individuals for their sin. Ezekiel 18:4-9, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry and covered the naked with clothing, if he has not exacted usury nor taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity and executed true judgment between man and man, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. So you see how God focuses on the individual sin. You rise and fall based on your sin, not your father, mother, grandparents, or older generations. Now, there are a few of Israel's idolatrous failures, and I'm just going to give you a few, but there are many. Exodus 32:1-4. This is in the book of Exodus. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, now what he should have said to is rebuke them, but no, he got caught up in this sin. "Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And they said to him, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt." It's just shocking to read this passage, how quickly, 40 days out, Moses is gone, and already they return to their idolatrous ways. Jeremiah 7:18, "The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, the women knead dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger." And Hosea 4:12, "My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God." It's sad to see how they have removed themselves from the truth and the light of the true living God to these dead, deaf, dumb, blind, mute idols. Now, what does the Bible say on idols? There's actually quite a bit. Listen to this. Habakkuk 2:18. "What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it. To make mute idols? Woe to him who says to the wood, 'Awake!' To the silent stone, 'Arise!' It shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and yet in there is no breath at all." Psalm 115:4-8. "Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." Brothers and sisters, you may think of idols as these things that you carve and paint and put gold and silver on, and that is the idols of the Old Testament. But let's recognize there are also idols of the heart. We're going to continue in Idols of the Heart and more on this in our next time together. But I pray and ask you to make sure that there are no idols in your heart and that your affection is for the Lord and the Lord alone. Well, thanks for spending time with us, and may you grow in the knowledge of God's Word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.